whatever you want to do. Okay. Hey, everybody. Today, we're diving deep into the transformative power of love and resilience, exploring how forces can be harnessed to overcome adversity and cultivate a life of fulfillment. Allow me to introduce Khan Glay, a remarkable healing and life coach, devoted father, and influential social media creator. Khan is not just a guiding light. He's a beacon who has triumphed over his adversities to emerge as a vessel of wisdom, love, and practical tools for change. Whether it's through his heart-centered coaching methods or his viral TikTok videos, Khan has mastered the art of helping people, individuals, unlock their true potential and navigate life's complexities. Khan's blend of real-life experience, deep empathy, and actionable insights offers not just a lesson, but a roadmap to thriving in all aspects of life. So get ready to embark on a healing journey that will redefine what you thought was possible. Here we go. Hey, everybody, I'm Michael J., and this is A Funny Way of Looking, where diverse voices meet open minds. We're live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on A Funny Way of Looking, and afterwards, we will be on your favorite podcast, so you can stream it there. It's all an amazing time. I love what we're doing. Khan, welcome to the show, and first thing I got to ask you, man, is, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you, sir?
I'm doing excellent today, and I'm ready to hear from you. First, before we do that, I got to ask you, man, who do you want to do a shout out to?
So first, I want to shout out my beautiful baby girl, Zori. She's my motivation and my inspiration. And then secondly, I want to shout out everybody that's out there on the healing self-help journey. You know, we are a community. Push each other along the road. So those are my...
I love those shout outs. Your journey to me has been absolutely fascinating. And I love your look, how you look at forgiveness and healing and moving forward. For the people that don't know you, I want you to tell your story about you and what happened with your son, because I think that's important for them to have context of just how strong your everything is, your faith, your ability to forgive. And I'm just going to shut up for a minute. And I want to listen to this again. So tell me about your son and about how things happened.
So a little over 2.5 years ago, my 16-year-old son, Cassius, was shot and murdered in Washington, D.C. And, you know, at the time that it occurred, I was really in a place on my spiritual journey where I had settled in understanding the power of love and love being the fuel that we are supposed to run on. And we're supposed to be an expression of love here on earth. So when everything happened, you know, that challenged that foundation for me. But ultimately, through the process of grieving and really trying to understand what took place, I had that decision to make whether I was going to lean into where I'd arrived on my spiritual journey and really placing myself in love, or if I was going to follow whatever the natural emotions that I felt. And fortunately for me, I've really planted my feet in that understanding of the power of love. So when everything took place, even in the process while grieving, I remember I gave the eulogy at my son's funeral. And the one thing that I said to all the young people there was, you know, I don't harbor any resentment towards the young man that took my son's life, because even as I think of my son not being here and I think of that young man, you know, I see myself in him, because I was once in a place in my life where I didn't see value in my life. And because I didn't see value in my own life, it was easy for me to not see value in someone else's. But you know, since that time, I've decided that I'm going to let the loss of my son be a motivator for me. I'm going to allow this moment to propel me to achieve and go after everything that I've always wanted to do. But also, I wanted to make sure that my son's legacy reflected upon my life in a positive way. You know, I wanted the story to be that, you know, this guy lost his son, but look at everything that he's been able to accomplish, so that anytime I speak of my son, it would be from a positive place and that his legacy will reflect positivity.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. I want to understand how you got past the hurt and what it took for you to actually forgive, because, you know, I see people who have gone through this and then they will stand up in court and say to the person who did it, I forgive you, and somehow they move on. Explain that to me. I've never been in that situation.
Now, that's Where a great that- question. So for me, as I stated previously, you know, I'd been on this spiritual journey for over 20 years. And I'd finally reached a place where I understood what the core of this life was. So when I arrived at that place and everything happened with my son, I didn't have, I'm a little touched here, but I didn't have capacity inside of me to harbor hatred or unforgiveness.
Okay.
I understood that we were designed to operate in a space of love. And being consumed by that understanding of love, I could not find it inside of me to harbor hatred towards the young man that took my son's life because of that foundation that I had in love. But also, I also understood that I know where that young man is. I know the position that he's in. I worked with at-risk youth for a very long time, for over 10, 15 years. And whenever I would speak to these young men, part of what made my advocacy on their behalf so effective is because I've been there, right? I've been out in the streets. I've been the guy that did not see value in my own life. So combining my understanding of love and then knowing that these young men are in the same space I was once in, I couldn't find it in my heart to harbor that energy of unforgiveness or that energy of resentment or hatred. And ultimately, it was that decision that led me and propels me today to do what I'm doing.
Gotcha. I love your saying of, you know, run on love and being in that space. Is that what you now teach people, and how do you do that?
So it's the saying that I use, and I use the analogy of your body being a vessel, and you are the spirit being or the spiritual being that's inside of this vessel. But this vessel is designed to run on, and I say this jokingly, 93 premium gasoline, which is love. Yes. And I absolutely teach that. And some of the foundation is, and the way that I make that analogy make sense to people is, if you have a vehicle that runs on premium gasoline and you're trying to run it on anything else, eventually it's going to break, it's going to malfunction. And oftentimes, if you look at our lives, if we're running on hatred, resentment, unforgiveness, and all these other things that fuel us, we see that happen in our lives. We see the breaking, we see the malfunctioning. And really, that's the analogy that I use to simplify that idea for people, is that we're designed by our creator to run on love. And any other energy or any other fuel that we're running on in these vessels will ultimately break this vessel down and cause it to malfunction.
Yeah, I love that. I was talking to you backstage, I think, a little bit, and I've heard your TikTok lessons, and you talk about doing shadow work. Talk to me about shadow work, why it's so important, and how people can use that, and explain it's not some evil thing that people think that it is. It's actually positive work. So explain shadow work a little bit.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. So the first thing that I want people to understand is the word shadow and shadow work really refers to those things, those emotions, those experiences that are hidden or suppressed in your subconscious mind. It has nothing to do with any type of dark work. It has nothing to do with anything demonic, anything like that. The word shadow is just referring to the parts of yourself that you're not consciously aware of and that you're not consciously engaged with every day, but those parts of you are still very much a part of your behavior patterns and your thought patterns. What I've learned is that even before I came to an in-depth understanding of what shadow work is, I was already doing the shadow work. I remember at the age of 23, realizing that the root of some of my anger and part of why I didn't have that value for myself was rooted in the relationship that I had with my father. Mm-hmm. And I remember going back to my father and realizing even at that young age, before I fully had an understanding of what shadow work was, I knew I had to go back and forgive him so that those behavior patterns and thought patterns that were plaguing my life, I could deal with them and process them properly. So I went back and had that conversation with my dad, and I saw the change in my life. And then I kept on because, you know, like I stated, I've been on this spiritual journey since the age of 19. And even at that time, when I first was introduced to spirituality and religion, I even became a youth pastor at a local church in Washington, D.C. Okay. And process is when I really started my spiritual journey and started seeking other information, not just what was in the Bible. But so I grasped that understanding of what is necessary to live a fulfilled life. And I was doing that work even before I came to an understanding of what shadow work is. And many people will realize that if not the title, if you're on a self-help journey and you're working on yourself and you're looking at experiences that you've had and how those experiences are impacting you today, that is in essence what shadow work is.
Gotcha. So you talk about love, forgiveness, shadow work. Who to you is like your perfect person to talk to and help and heal and bring them? What's the end work of all the shadow work and all the stuff that you do? What is that?
So the simplest way that I say it to people is to become the best version of yourself that you can be. Okay. And oftentimes, if you haven't, I'll say it like this also. Many of us are the result, our lives are the result of other people's actions or other people's doing towards us, right? It's like the experiences of your past are dictating your behavior patterns. The experiences of your past are dictating your thought patterns. And what I'm teaching people is you have the ability to take the pen and author not only this phase of your life, but the next phases of your life. And in order to do that, you have to recognize and go back and see what are the experiences, what are the repressed thoughts, what are the repressed emotions that are actually authoring the way that you behave and the way that you think today. And once you can recognize those things and then do the work to reframe those things, then you know you have the power to actually write out the life that you want to live. And then if you add a foundation of love to that, knowing that you are here to be a distributor of love and to be a vessel that carries and spreads love, then people really start to find that they can live a fulfilling life that aligns with what they want for themselves.
Gotcha, man. How do you empower people yourself? Like what's the work that you do with your clients to empower them? Are there steps to this process? What do you do?
So one of the first things that I do is listen, right? Because oftentimes people will say not only what they're using their words to express, but you'll find that if you, so I explain it like this, I listen beyond just the words that you're using, right? And by listening, I often hear the root of what may be producing the outcome in their lives that they want to change. And then after hearing that, the simplest way to explain it is, I'm teaching people to understand that the way that you were designed and created, all that you need has been placed and put inside of you. We've been conditioned, whether it be by religion or whether it be by society, to seek everything outside of ourselves, which means ultimately you become dependent either on the society that you're in, or you're dependent on someone else providing it for you. So after listening and understanding what a person's challenge is, ultimately what I'm bringing them to is the understanding that you are the author of your life. And whether you know it or not, based on your thought patterns, the ways that you speak about yourself and your actions, you're manifesting the life that you're living. So when you bring into that awareness and then you teach them simple tools, as simple as understanding the power of your voice. So oftentimes many of us have thoughts that don't align with our best interests, or thoughts that we think, hey man, why am I thinking that? So the first thing that I teach people that have those type of experiences is the power of your voice. And I'll give you this example. If other people can speak to you a certain way and it impacts you, and it impacts the way that you behave, and it impacts the way that you think, then it's clear to understand that your voice also has that same power, and more so because you are speaking to yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To talk about the reprogramming of the thought patterns, how do you have exercises that you do for people and get them into reprogramming their thoughts and their words and things? How do you do that?
That's a great question. So one of the first things that I teach people is really to understand that your thoughts are not you. Most people have come to a place in the way that we're conditioned is to believe that if I think a thing, it is who I am, right? So oftentimes people that struggle with the life that they want to live, their thoughts don't align with what they desire for themselves. So the first thing that I teach people, your thoughts are not you. So whenever you have thoughts that don't align with what you desire for yourself, the first thing you have to do is disassociate from those thoughts. So some of the exercises are, that thought doesn't belong to me. That is not my portion. That is not who I am. So by first disassociating from the thought, you're now separating the thoughts from who you are. The second thing is, now after you disassociate from those thoughts, you have to then speak what it is that you align with. You have to say verbally what it is that you want for yourself, who you are, that is contrary to those thoughts that may be negative or that may not be serving your long-term best interest. So those are some of the simple basic exercises that we start with to really teach people how to rewrite a lot of that information in the thought patterns in their subconscious mind.
Now, is that part of your 369 journal that you have and you teach people about, or is that different?
So that's aligned with the 369 journal. The author, Keela Cheyenne, is someone that I've been in contact with, and she understands the work that I do, and she's been in support of the work that I'm doing. But the idea of manifestation, and when I teach manifestation to people, the first thing that I help them to understand is, whether you know it or not, you practice manifestation, because we all do. What we're teaching people to do is how to focus with intent so that they can manifest what they desire for themselves.
Yes. Give me an example of somebody that you've worked with where you go, you know what, let's see if we can't change the way that you think. And then from that process, you've seen a positive outcome in their lives.
Sure. So the reason why I kind of work with people in a pattern of starting off with shadow work first before we talk about manifestation, because if you have thought patterns that you haven't addressed and haven't reframed in your mind, then what you are often manifesting is being guided by those thought patterns. So the first thing that we do in the process of teaching people how to do shadow work is to address those negative thought patterns. Because the process of manifestation, and the example that I give people, and then I'll give you a direct example, is in the same way that you can be anxious about a thing, and you hold on to that feeling of anxiety, and you're laser focused on what is causing you to be anxious, in the same way that through that process, you can produce the very thing that you're anxious about, it is the same thing as I teach with faith. So if anxiety is the expectation of the negative outcome in overdrive, then faith is the expectation of the positive or desired outcome in overdrive. So if you can hold on to that emotion and feeling of faith with laser focus on what it is that you desire for yourself, then you can manifest that here in the physical. So I had a client And oftentimes, again, like I told you, I just listen. So the first thing that this client said to me is, you know, my life sucks. Nothing seems to go my way. And manifestation does not work for me. And after listening for a while, one of the first things that I highlight is when you say that, you're giving me insight not only into your thoughts, but you're using your three creative faculties, which are your thoughts, your words, and your actions. And then the feeling that you hold is the fourth. But knowing that you can profess to me that your life sucks, nothing seems to work for you, that lets me know that is your thinking and you're using your words. So I'm certain you're manifesting that idea and that reality over and over. So the first thing we started to do was start to teach them how to reframe with their words, because obviously the thoughts were there, but if you can't control your thoughts, they're one of your creative faculties is stronger than your thoughts. That's your words. So we started teaching them, I don't care how you feel. I don't care what's going on in your mind. You have the ability to control what you let out of your mouth. So if your thoughts are contrary to what you want, then I need you to speak what it is that you want. So we started just simply working on, my life is amazing. Things do work in my favor. And those things that I desire to manifest will come to pass.
Absolutely.
And we just worked on that, just those simple things. Anytime a thought pops up in their mind that was contrary to that, what I taught them was speak exactly what this is. And over time, that thought of negativity in the subconscious mind starts to get replaced, because now you're speaking and using one of your creative faculties that's more powerful than your thoughts. So before we know it, they start to see the change physically in their life. And what that is an example of is what I always tell people, you are manifesting, whether you have the in-depth knowledge of it or not, you're doing it. And once you start thinking differently, speaking differently, and acting differently, you will see those results in your life. And today, I mean, that client is someone that I continue to work with, but the change in their life has been so empowering that they continue to not only work with me to grow more, but they're one of the people that's actually a part of the team now that helps other people and that refers other people to our lives and to our conversations.
I love that whole thing. If I had a clap track here, I'd have the audience whooping it up right there, because you're speaking truth, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Hey, I know that you are big on TikTok, and you start and you do these hour-long talks to people, and they turn into an hour and a half to 2 hours, 3 hours. How's that going for you, man? I mean, it's just like, this feels like love coming out of you right there.
So I'll tell you the amazing part about my TikTok story. Mm-hmm. I started my TikTok a little over 2.5 years ago as I was in the middle of grief of losing my son. And I started the TikTok with two intent. One was to celebrate the joys of fatherhood, because at that time, my daughter became my purpose. She became what I would hold on to keep me focused. But the other thing was, just based on where I arrived on my spiritual journey, I understood, and this is something that I also teach people, I understood that at your lowest, if you want to rise from wherever you are, find someone else that you can pour into. Find someone else that you can invest into. So when I first got on TikTok, and for those that follow my page and can go back there, you will see a man that's in the midst of his grief, but I was still speaking love, life, and wisdom into other people. And by doing that, and I use this analogy about love, you can be a consumer of love, or you can be a distributor of love. The consumer will always need to find someone to give them love. So the consumer is a person that looks at love as, I'm waiting for someone to love on me, or I'm waiting for someone to pull me up, or I'm waiting for someone to inspire me. When you're a distributor of love, you understand that as long as I can find someone to give this to, it has to flow through me first. So when I came to TikTok, as a grieving father, I knew that I know what my gift is because I've operated in that gift of spreading love and wisdom to people. But I knew in that moment in my life, I had to do that more. So I'd never been really big on social media. I'd never really posted videos, any of those things. But I came to TikTok, one, as a means of celebrating the joys of fatherhood, two, as a means of pouring into other people. And then, to be quite transparent, it was a space for me to grieve with people that were not judgmental, people that didn't know me. And what I found was, as I poured love and life into these strangers, they reciprocated and poured love and life back into me.
Oh man, that is powerful. Do you ever have haters that you have to deal with? And if so, like, how do you deal with them?
So that's a great question. And anytime you're doing anything on social media, you're gonna attract any and everybody. Yes. I employ a strategy and it works every single time. I pour love on them. I remember I had a gentleman leave a comment on my page. And I guess he was disagreeing with something that I said, but he was very aggressive with it. And just, you know, he had that, I could feel that energy. So my response to him in the comments were, I'm so glad that you're here. You may have thought you were attracted to this post to say the things that you said, but you were actually attracted to this post for me to show you love and for me to pour love and life upon you. So I'm glad that you're here. I appreciate your comments. And I just hope that you'll stick around long enough to really get to feel the energy that we're vibrating on here. And it took him about 3 days to respond. And finally, when he responded, it was like, hey, man, thank you. I appreciate your words. And I'll be hanging out a little bit longer. So that's my approach to the people that may have a difference of opinion or just generally hating. I'm going to pour love on you because ultimately, I'm not going to engage in a debate or in a confrontational adversarial conversation with you because that's not why I'm here. But I understand the power of love. So whatever energy that you came in, that energy is not going to overtake this energy of love that I'm going to present to you.
Love that, man. That is, I don't even know how you could debate that response if you're him. It's like, well, let me just shut up and listen for a minute.
Love on me, and I'm hating on something that he's doing, and all he wants to do is love on me. So
right, exactly. Hey, I want to do play a little game with you. It's called This or That. I want to learn more about Khan and what you believe. I'm going to give you a question. I'll give you two choices. You can choose one out of the other, but not neither or both. So let's play and see what's up and learn some more about Khan Glay. Start easy. How about just books or podcast?
Podcast.
Okay. Glad you said that. Morning routine or night routine?
Morning routine.
Okay. How about TikTok or Instagram?
Definitely TikTok.
Okay. I agree with that, by the way. What do you think about this whole thing with people trying to shut down TikTok?
I think it's deeper than just the reasons that they're saying. You know, I think there's a lot of other factors at play that may be bigger than just the security of people's information that is being presented to us. I think it's much larger than that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's got to be true, because if Facebook doesn't have all my information already, I don't know who does. So, just saying, I'm just throwing that out there. Okay? Coaching in person or coaching online?
In person, even though most of my clients and most of the people that I work with are online, and I'll tell you why in person. Part of the gift that I possess is, and I recognized this very early in my life when I was working with kids. I remember I was working in a before and after school program, and it turned out that after about 3 months of being there, all the teachers, whenever they had young men in their classrooms that were a little bit rowdy or they couldn't get to settle down, they would send them to this empty classroom with me. And I'd be sitting in this classroom with about three or four young boys. And I instantly recognized that I could feel where they were. And by being able to feel where they were, that's how I knew the words to say to comfort them, to encourage them, to lift them up. And that has been an ongoing part of what I do and how I do it. So whenever I'm in person with a person and they're actually speaking to me, as they're speaking, I can feel where they are, that sense of distress or pain or whatever it is, I can feel that. And then by feeling it, I know the words to speak to. I know the parts of them that needs light and love. So definitely.
Absolutely. I think that is, maybe you're an empath and we just don't know. You're a straight up empath. Nice.
That's a part of the gift.
Uh-huh. How about teaching resilience or teaching love?
Oh, absolutely love every single time, because love will teach you how to be resilient. Love will teach you how to do all the other things.
Okay, nice. How about healing through reflection or action?
Action. Because if you reflect on a thing and you don't take the necessary actions to reframe or to process it differently, then all you've done is just looked back on the pain or looked back on the experience. But it's always going to take action.
Okay. We didn't talk about girl dad yet, but just to say, quick aside, parenting by discipline or by empathy?
I would say empathy. And the reason I say that is because sometimes we lean too hard on discipline without giving all the other tools that are necessary for a child to really understand the reason why we're saying or doing the things that we're saying.
Makes sense. How about when you do content creation, planned or spontaneous?
Planned is always how I start, but the spontaneity always takes over, and the lies will kind of go wherever the energy and the need of whomever is there will take us.
Okay. About shadow work or manifestation techniques?
I'd say shadow work first, because if you don't work on those subconscious parts of your mind, they will affect and impact your ability to manifest what you desire for yourself.
Okay. But individual healing or community building?
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. So I would say individual healing. And the reason I say that, if we all individually focus on healing and focus on living a life where we're distributors of love and we're vessels that carry love, then humanity will heal as a whole.
Okay. I can understand that. Let's talk about coaching for just one second.
Sure.
Logic-based methods or intuition-based methods in coaching?
The only reason I'll say intuition is because the way that most of us are conditioned to think and what we believe is logical thinking is actually contrary to the reality of how we were designed and how life is actually put together. So if you just kind of stay with logic, which is where most people are, a lot of the things that I do and say don't really fit in that box, but it resonates with the spirit being that you are.
Yeah, I actually think emotion is where people live, and even their decisions most, I think, are emotion-based, even though we want to think they're logic, but yeah, it ain't happening.
I totally agree with that.
How about short-term goals or long-term vision?
I'll answer it, but I'll say it like this.
Okay.
One of the most important things that I teach people, especially pertaining to making decisions out of your emotions, as we just stated. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, when you make a decision out of your emotions or acting on your emotions, you're making a decision that affects your short-term feeling, or at least how you feel in the moment, but it does not serve your long-term best interest. So if you're thinking of your long-term best interest, and if that is where your mind is, then the short-term decisions will serve your long-term best interest.
Okay. How about healing others or healing yourself? What comes first?
That's beautiful. I would always say healing others.
Healing others comes first. Okay. That is an interesting thought, right? Because can you be broken and heal others? I think so, right? You can.
And not only that, in the process of healing others, because here's the visual that I give people. If I see myself as empty and in need of healing, then it goes back to the conversation we just had about love. I'm only a consumer. I'm waiting for someone to come and give me whatever it is that I need for me to be whole. If I am a distributor of healing, or if I'm a distributor of love, then it has to come through me. It has mm-hmm. to flow through me. So whatever it is that's broken in me, as I'm in this process of distributing or being the source of love and healing, that will also work within me as it flows out of me to whomever else I'm trying to help or heal.
Nice. I love that. Let's talk about your views on emotional management. How about freedom of emotion or emotional discipline?
Emotional discipline, and the reason I say that is I don't teach people to try to control their emotions. I think that's a flawed line of thinking. Mm-hmm. What you're controlling, or what you're trying to grab a hold of, is how you react to your emotions. So one of the sayings that I often use in my coaching is, your emotions are designed to give you information and not directions. When you feel an emotion, your process should be, I feel this, I assess why I feel it. Now I have to think what is going to serve my long-term best interest, and then I act. I would say the latter.
Okay. External validation or internal peace?
Internal peace.
Okay, easy. Yeah. About self-love or sacrificial love?
Ooh. So I answer that like this. When I'm teaching people this, living a life of love and being a distributor of love, one of the things that is critical for them to understand is that how we determine when it comes to love is either selfish or selfless. Mm-hmm. And love will always be selfless. So I think if you look at love from the perspective of what can I give, what can I do, who can I love on, then it kind of simplifies where you draw the line. And oftentimes when I'm teaching people about love, they ask me, well, how do I know that I'm doing something out of love, or if I'm doing the right thing? And I tell them, simply ask yourself, is this self-serving or selfless? And if it's self-serving, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but if it engages or if it involves someone else and it's self-serving, then you may not be operating in love.
Can't someone say, I'm doing this because I love this person, or I love the outcome, or I love doing whatever, and it becomes a selfish thing for them to give selflessly?
I like that question, and it goes back to really the foundation of what we teach about love, right? The reason I am a vessel of love, one, is because I know this is how I was designed. But the other reason is I'll never lack it if I'm the vessel of it. I'll never lack it if I'm the distributor of it. And I think that's the beauty of the conundrum of love, that if you understand that giving it serves you as well, then you've figured it out. But if you think I just want to consume it, then you'll always miss it. You'll always lack it, and you'll always be searching for it.
Love that. I got two more for you. Sure. Leading with head or heart in tough decisions.
Oh, that's good. Leading with heart.
Okay. Yep. You want to explain it, or you think it's all good?
No. I'd say leading with heart because when speaking about love, sometimes the logical, reasonable thing may not be what serves love.
Okay.
Right. So I would say leading with the heart.
All right. Last one. Leaving a legacy or living in the moment?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Leaving a legacy. And the reason I say that is because if you have the idea of I want to leave a legacy, I want to leave something behind that will serve other people, it does not rob you of the ability to live in the moment. You know, your long-term goal becomes what directs your short-term decision-making. I want to also do this too. I want to go back to that previous question. The way that most of us understand love is from this real logical, sometimes we kind of see it as an exchange, or, you know, I can't give unless I'm receiving. And this is what I often say to people. The moment you realize that your love is not to be coveted and held for specific relationships and specific people, you become a faucet of it. And it is in that moment, and doing that defies all that you know about logic. If somebody goes back to where we started with the young man that took my son's life. Mm-hmm. When I say to people, if I had the opportunity to pour love onto that young man, I would. It defies logic. It makes no sense in the way that people understand the world to be. And oftentimes when you're living in love and you're making decisions out of love and your understanding of love, it's going to defy the logical, regular thinking of our society. But we'll always win, and the outcome will always be in your favor.
Okay. Thank you, man. I've enjoyed this conversation a lot. And people need to be able to get in touch with you. I'm going to throw some things up here on the screen so people can get in touch with you and learn from this powerful message that you've got. For people that aren't seeing the screen, if you're listening on podcast, there's his website is girldadllc.com. That's all one word, girldadllc.com. Then we also have you on TikTok. I love your TikTok discussions where people are just in there and you're asking questions and challenging people. That's at girldadsos. That's all one word, girldadsos. Shouting out for some help there. And then we've also got you on YouTube at girl_dad. Thank you so much for being on, Con. It has been an absolute it's been a pleasure just sitting here listening to you and hearing what you have to say, man. I really, really like it. For everyone out there, if you want more of this kind of awesome material, check us out at afunnywayoflooking.com. We're on all of the social media networks, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and they're all under A Funny Way of Looking. And jump onto our newsletter, and we're going to replay some of what Con has actually said today in the newsletter. That's going to be coming up probably in a couple of weeks. You'll hear from him again. Thank you again so much, man. I really appreciate you.
Hey, Michael, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be able to sit on a podcast like yours and really talk about love and talk about forgiveness and talk about just really people pushing to be the best version of themselves that they can be. There's so many other conversations happening on social media and in general in the world. And to be able to find spaces that allow for these types of conversation where people can actually be fed positive and people can be fed things that will help them to be better. I appreciate any opportunity that I have to be able to do that. So thank you for having me. And I look forward to maybe some more conversations in the future.
There will be some. Everybody, look up Khan. Khan, I'll see you in just a second. Goodbye, everybody.